Gospels to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It's a rare occasion, but it's happened to me on very rare occasions that somebody has said, "Boy, I wish you'd preach a little longer." Today you may get your wish if you're one of those people. I read somewhere that fear not is the most often repeated command in all of the Bible. I suppose that's because we're most often afraid. We fear, and when I say we, I mean people in general, but I'm including us in the we. We're just afraid of a lot of things. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of embarrassment. We're afraid of sickness or disease. We're afraid of death. If we're called upon to do something for the Lord in the church or in the public sector, we're afraid that we can't do it, or we're afraid that we can, and then we'll have to do it, you know, again, more than once. But we're just, in spite of all of the commands to fear not, we're afraid a lot of the times. Fear is the enemy of faith. Fear causes doubt. Fear causes distress. Fear causes despair. Fear causes panic. We have seen that in our country just recently, how that fear causes panic. But it's difficult. It's really difficult to not be afraid. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." We should not be afraid because God is always present with us. As Christians, God is always present with us. Psalm 139, 9 and 10, we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The wings of the morning and the uttermost part of the sea is a phrase to express great distance. So the idea is that there's no place that we can go from the presence of God. And then he says that his right hand will hold me. The right hand in Scripture almost always refers to power. And especially when it talks about the right hand of God, it's talking about the power of God. So everywhere that we go, everywhere, all the time, the power of God keeps us, holds us in his hand. So really, we shouldn't be afraid. We know that, but boy, it's just hard to not be afraid sometimes. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story. It's the story of a healing of a little 12-year-old girl, actually the resurrection of a 12-year-old girl. But it's also the story of faith overcoming fear. I want to read it this morning. It's kind of a long scripture reading. We're going to start in verse 21 of Mark 5 and go through the end of the chapter. So you bear with me, okay? Follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. By the way, I have lots of scripture references this morning. So if you want to write them down, they'll be on the screen, but you might want to write them down for later. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. I want to consider some things this morning. Usually when we're in this passage, we talk about one of the two miracles that's recorded, and both of them are great miracles. But I want to think about a little bit this morning about what might have happened in Jairus' home before he went to see Jesus. And I want to talk about fears, questions. If you're a parent, you know this. When a child gets sick, parents worry. We say worry, we say we're concerned. What we do is we become afraid, especially if the illness is desperate, like this illness was. We get afraid. Parents get afraid. And so I'm sure Jairus and his wife were afraid. I'm sure they had done all that they could. I would guess that Jairus, being a ruler of the synagogue, had some sort of means. I don't mean that he was rich, but he knew lots of people, so he had connections. And so I'm sure they'd done all they could, checked all the doctors, all the medicine that was available, probably tried it all, may have tried some alternate treatments, some alternative treatments. I'm sure he called on people to pray. He was the ruler of the synagogue. But nothing had worked. Nothing had helped. His daughter was still sick. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that she was at the point of death. And so I'm sure they were afraid. And then they heard that Jesus was in the area. And so I think they sat down and they began to have a discussion. Well, maybe we should go ask Jesus to help. And I think in that discussion, in that decision-making process to go ask Jesus for help, I'm sure there were some questions that came to their mind, don't you think? There would be questions in my mind. I think the first question might have been, do you think Jesus really cares? After all, we've tried everything. We have prayed. We have asked the people of the synagogue to pray. We've asked people outside of the synagogue. We've asked people in the synagogue down the street. They only had one, but we've asked everybody to, and listen, we've called upon God and she's still sick. She's about to die. Do you think Jesus really cares? Fear causes us to ask that question. You remember there was a story, the disciples and Jesus were out on a boat out on the sea, maybe the Sea of Galilee, I don't remember, but they were out there and a big storm came up, and the Bible says that the wind blew and the waves got big and the water began to crash against the side of the boat, and then the water began to come into the boat, and Jesus was asleep in the ship. And the disciples went and woke him up, and this is the question that they asked Jesus when they woke him up. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? Did you ever wonder that? Have you ever wondered? Honestly, now, have you ever wondered? I wonder if Jesus really cares. You know, you're going through a storm, a problem, a difficulty, and it's severe, at least in your mind, it's severe, and maybe literally, really, it's severe, and it lasts a long time, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better, and you think all hope is lost, and boy, you've prayed, and you've asked, and you've requested prayer at church, and you've been on the prayer chain, and I wonder if Jesus really cares. I want to assure you that Jesus cares about you. Romans 10:13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, would Jesus offer you salvation if he didn't care about you? We know, according to Scripture, that Jesus died on the cross, willingly offered himself as a sacrifice for your sin on the cross. Now, would he do that if he didn't really care about you? I hear people criticize Christianity and say, well, it's not very logical. It's the most logical thing in the world. It's only logical to think that if he'll die for me, he cares about me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end." An expected end is a future and a hope. Would Jesus think thoughts of peace and hope and a future for you if he didn't care about you? Would he think about you at all if he didn't care about you? Psalm 139, I referenced it a while ago. There's a verse in there, I don't remember which one it is, but it talks about the number of thoughts that God has for us, that they're as the sand of the sea. Now, would he do that if he didn't care about you? I mean, the answer, obviously, is no. But if there was any doubt, if we couldn't figure it out on our own, if logic wouldn't tell us that Jesus cares about us, 1 Peter 5:17 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Don't let your fear cause you to doubt the love that Jesus has for you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus loves you. I think the second question they might have asked was, do you really think Jesus can? Can you put yourself in their position for just a minute? Maybe you've been in their position. Maybe you're in their position right now. I've done all I can do and nothing works. I've tried everything. I've taken all the advice. I've tried normal things. I've tried crazy things. And nothing works. I wonder. I've prayed and I've asked Jesus. I wonder if he really can do anything about it. You know what we do? We make prayer a last resort. Have you noticed that? I've even caught myself telling people sometimes, well, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. Well, there's nothing. Well, okay, well, I'll try to pray. Shouldn't that be the first thing we do? But, we try to solve our own problems ourselves. We try to get ourselves out of the mess on our own. And sometimes we try and try and try and for weeks or months or years, sometimes our whole life, we try to do it ourselves. And finally, we come to God and pray. But when we come to God and pray, we think, well, I don't know if Jesus can. Nothing else has worked. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." We know the verse, but do we believe the verse? Well, believe it or not, it's true. God can do anything, anywhere, anytime. I want to tell you a silly story. Can I tell you a silly story? I'm going to. You might as well say yes. Thank you. Last Sunday morning, every Sunday from 9 to 10, I sit out there on the west side of the church for people that want to come through, drive-through prayer. And last Sunday morning, I was sitting out there, and I began to pray. When I was in college, I bought a brand new 1979 Ford Fiesta. Well, I love that little car. They only made them 3 years, and they're very hard to find. They're extremely rare. And I have looked and looked and looked for one. For a long time, I've looked on Craigslist, on Facebook, Marketplace, everywhere I could think of. Couldn't find any. Sunday morning, I was sitting out there, and I don't know why, but Sunday morning, I was sitting out there, and I said, "Now, Lord, I'd really like to find a 78 to 80 Ford Fiesta. I'd like to have one of those. I'm getting old." I told him, I said, "I'm getting old. I'm running out of time. I'd like to have one." Sunday afternoon, I got the iPad out, and I got on Sheriff's Facebook page, and I hit Marketplace, and there was a 78 Ford Fiesta. It was even red. God can do, I know that's silly, but to me that was important. God can do anything, anytime, anywhere. God can. But in our fear, we wonder, can he really? I think there might have been one more question that they asked, and that was, do you think Jesus will come? I mean, after all, he's a busy man. Everywhere he goes, Jairus and his wife might have thought, everywhere he goes, there's people all around him. The Bible in this passage tells us that the people thronged him. All of those people want something from him. They all want a car, and they're all asking him about a car. Everybody wants something from him. He's busy all the time. I wonder if he'll even come. After all, you know, I'm the ruler of the synagogue, but I'm not really that important. I wonder if we're important enough. I wonder if we matter enough to Jesus for him to come and help us. Boy, now that's a question. That's a doubt that fear throws up in all of our faces, don't you think? I wonder if Jesus really will come to me. I've had people come to my office and want to get saved and tell me, I don't think God cares about me. I don't think God will save me. He'll save others, but I don't think he'll save me. We think Jesus will help others, but we don't think, in our fear, we don't think Jesus will help us. Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Doesn't that include everybody? Didn't that include you? Romans 10:13, I've already quoted it and talked about it this morning. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't that include everybody? Whosoever. Luke 11:9-10 says, Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Doesn't everyone include everyone? Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Every single person is equally valuable to God as every other person. Every little child, every little newborn baby, every little baby in the womb, every person who's reached such an age that families have forgotten them and society has forgotten them, and really we'd like for them just to die. All those people and everybody in between are all valuable to God. And what he will do for one, he will do for everyone. Everyone that asketh receiveth. God does care. God can do something about it, and he will come to you if you'll ask him. Those are some of the questions that fear causes us to ask. Next, I want you, that was just my first point. Kick off your shoes. Next, I want you to notice fear's distraction. I think those questions and others probably were on Jairus' mind as he made his way from his house to where Jesus was. And I don't know how long that was. I don't know where, how long that took. But I think all this stuff was going through his mind. And when he got to Jesus, he found Jesus and he talked to Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, I'll go. Don't you think? I think he felt relieved. I think he felt better. Boy, the doctor said there's no hope, but I think now maybe there's some hope. Jesus is coming. And if you can kind of picture the scene, we've already said that the people thronged all around Jesus in front, on either side, behind him, everywhere. It was hard for him to move because people were just massively around him. I think maybe Jairus was out in front. I think Jairus had Jesus' arm and was pulling him along. Hurry up. We don't have much time. I really think that's what happened. And all of a sudden, he's pulling, he's tugging, and all of a sudden, Jesus stops. And he's asking about somebody who touched his clothes. Don't you think Jairus was kind of like the disciples and thought, are you kidding me? Look around, man. Everybody, lots of people are touching your clothes. But Jairus was concerned. He was worried. He was afraid again. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he won't come. He stopped. And while they were stopped, a message came. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the master. She's dead. What a moment for Jairus. All those fears, at least in his mind, were realized. Oh, I was afraid this would happen, and it happened. I was afraid Jesus didn't care, and he doesn't. I was afraid Jesus couldn't do anything about it, and now I know he can't. She's dead. I was afraid Jesus wouldn't come, and he didn't. He's not even paying attention to me. He's distracted. He healed somebody else, and that's all well and good, but he forgot me. I want you to listen to verse 36. The Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Can I tell you the most wonderful thing to me about that verse? Jesus heard the word. Jairus didn't have to tell him. The Bible doesn't record that Jairus spoke. The messengers didn't tell Jesus, they told Jairus. There was a crowd around him thronging him. He may have been talking to the woman that he healed of the issue of blood. He may have been, at that moment, he may have been saying, daughter, thy faith hath made. But he heard the word. Because even though he was helping someone else, he was still in tune with Jairus and his need. And so he told Jairus, be not afraid. Only believe. There it is. There's the key. There's the secret. How do we not be afraid? Only believe. Listen, Jesus may be helping other people. Surely he is helping other people. But just because he's busy with somebody else doesn't mean he's not paying attention to you. He's listening. He's watching, he sees, he hears, he understands. And even though he's doing something with his right hand, he can do something with his left hand. Be not afraid, only believe. That brings us to fear's defeat. Jesus went to Jairus' house. When he got there, the Bible says there was weeping and wailing. You know that for the Jews, they actually hired mourners to come in when a family member passed away. They hired mourners. They were required to hire, I believe it was at least three mourners. They called them wailing women, and they came in and they wept and they wailed. That was their job. For Jairus, being a ruler of the synagogue, probably he hired more than three. As a matter of fact, the more you hired, the more kind of important you were and things like that. So there may have been several, I don't know, and they're weeping and they're wailing. And they're carrying on, as we would say, and it's almost a mess, a confusion. Because she's dead. And Jesus comes in and he says, listen, she's not dead. She's just asleep. Now, Jesus wasn't ignorant. He wasn't saying, listen, I have a different opinion. He was saying, listen, I know it's okay. It's all right. I know she's dead, but I'm going to wake her up. I'm going to make her alive. So he sent everybody out of the house. They laughed at him. He sent everybody out of the house, just Jesus, Jairus, and his wife. And the inner circle of the three disciples went in to the room where this little girl was laying on the bed, dead. Please don't forget, she's dead. And here's what happened. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose. Straightway means immediately. Jesus said, Talitha cumi, and immediately she got up. Fear was defeated by the power of God and by faith. Faith defeats fear. Christian, I want you to understand something this morning. Christian, God loves you. Man, so much. And He is able to do anything. And He will come, and He will help, and He will work His will in your life. Be not afraid, only believe. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are, doesn't matter what the problem is, doesn't matter what the situation is, it doesn't matter about your health or your wealth, it doesn't matter about society, nothing matters except God can. Be not afraid, only believe. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. I want you to know something. Jesus loves you too. And Jesus will help you too. And Jesus will come to you too. All you have to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. For whosoever asks, receives. Would you ask Jesus into your heart today? Would you confess your sins and ask Him to save you? Christian, would you ask Jesus today to help you overcome your fear? I don't know what it is or what it's about, but would you ask Him to help you overcome your fear and just believe Jesus. If you have a need this morning, you come. We'll share a place.